on this episode of Rev Hang.
The Haas is so good. I wish the car didn't suck so much. Andretti may or may not be able to make a public appearance at the racetrack during those races.
He needs to fast forward through this part. Like, get me doing this.
It's time for Ben's words of wisdom.
Yeah.
Cue the Jeopardy music. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to episode 2 of season 4 of Rev Hang. Ben and I are back. F1 has started. Hopefully you can see us this time if everything has gone according to plan. We've made some adjustments since the last episode for those watching on YouTube. So if you're seeing us, it means it worked. If you're not, it means it didn't. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
The adventures of Ben trying to cool down a Sony smartphone.
Yes, overheating is not our friend. But that is neither here nor there. We have an episode to get into. So, Ben, let us jump right in.
Okie dokie.
With some paddock news first. Piastri has his contract extended at McLaren. I don't really know the terms. I didn't really understand the terms. But it sounds like he's on board for the long haul.
Was there really any doubt?
I mean, no. It's confirmed now, I guess. So Piastri will be at McLaren, it sounds like, at least until 2028, from what I gather. Definitely a great move from him and them. I can't see a more perfect pairing other than maybe Lando Norris, which, funnily enough, is the current pairing. So
yeah. And yeah, apologies to Pato Award. Stayed losing, I guess.
Stayed losing, yeah.
Poor guy.
And then our second piece of news is Cadillac has been officially double confirmed again.
It's officially official.
For an F1 entry starting in 2026. All the papers have been signed. I thought they were before, but apparently not.
Now so they're super signed.
Now they've been signed again. So it sounds like Cadillac will definitely be on the grid next year. And Andretti may or may not be able to make a public appearance at the racetrack during those races.
Who knows? That'd be so funny. He just like shows up just for no reason.
Yeah. They show up with a livery that says Andretti on it. They're like, no, you got to paint over that. Not allowed.
This is just a big A on the car. Yeah, it stands for Colton Herta. Yeah, that's what it stands for. Nobody else.
For sure. It's like you look in the... in the F1 World Champions history Wikipedia page, and where Mario Andretti won, it just says redacted. Like, at this point, it feels personal. But that seems to have worked out for Cadillac, which I'm really excited to hear the engines, because, oh boy, on their hypercars, the engines sound so insane.
Yeah, the downside, though, is that they all have to use the same engine, which means it'll... I mean, it'll probably still sound like...
it'll sound like an F1 engine.
A turbo V6.
We also don't know what the new engines are going to sound like. But actually, also, Cadillac will not have an engine for the first 2 years. They're not actually bringing their engine until 2028. But it will be interesting to see what the new engines sound like. Hopefully, yeah. a little louder.
Maybe a little closer to IndyCar.
Yeah.
Honestly.
You're probably going to hear a lot more of the electric whine because of the major increase in output from the battery system. So you'll probably hear more of that, which if you like listen to the onboards of the McLaren car, as like during the race, you could hear the battery whine mixed with the turbo. It's like McLaren has a great sounding car, but...
gotta get that coil line, the 5090 coil line.
Absolutely. All right, that rounds off paddock news. Let's move into the Australian Grand Prix, which was this week, the first race of the season. And we'll go through the top 10 in qualifying. We're going to shorten this part of the episode a little bit from here on out, because I don't think anyone really likes hearing me read names for 10 minutes. So
throw back to the MotoGP days.
Oh my goodness. And the IMSA, when we did the IMSA races.
Oh, the IMSA is brutal.
3 drivers per car. Yeah. So, top 10 in qualifying were Norris, Piastri, Verstappen, Russell, Tsunoda, Albon, Leclerc, Hamilton, Gasly, and Sainz. Notables out in the early stages of qualifying, Liam Lawson, qualified, I believe, 17th, but started 19th.
Welcome back, Sergio Perez.
Yep. Kimi Antonelli in the Mercedes started 16th. Past that, nothing too crazy, just some rookies being rookies.
Yeah, Doohan might have had a good run at it if he didn't have a car in front of him.
Yep.
On the way through.
Yeah, and Behrman might have had a good run at it if he didn't crash and
toast his gearbox.
Yep. All right, let's move into the race. So, to start off, before the formation lap had even really started, Isaac Hadjar crashed in turn two and caused an aborted start, so the cars had to reset, go around again for another formation lap after they got that cleaned up. So Hadjar, in his first ever Formula One race, was out before he even started. Very unfortunate for him, and you could tell he was not super happy with himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
Kind of sad.
Good thing Helmut Marko is such a sympathetic
right
team owner.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Calling Bortoleto a B-tier driver, and then Bortoleto stomps every driver that he's ever hired. Love it. So, on the actual start, Verstappen passed Piastri for P2. Lando maintained the lead. Doohan crashed on lap one, bringing out the safety car, and then Sainz managed to crash behind the subsequent safety car. So we had to wait for two cars to get cleaned up before we could go racing again.
Yeah, we didn't actually start racing until lap eight.
Yeah, something like that.
Which is pretty
cool. Antonelli was able to move through the field relatively quickly. Pretty good to see, considering he's in a Mercedes, which is arguably probably the third fastest car right now, maybe second, after that showing from Ferrari this week. Yeah, he was climbing through the field. He did have a bit of a moment, spun off the track, but he kept the car going, kept it out of the wall, and only lost one position and gained it back pretty quickly. Piastri passed Verstappen on lap 17 to take second place, and then he quickly got up to the back of Lando Norris. Alonso crashed on lap 34, bringing out another safety car. Most cars under the safety car stopped for the dry tires because this was a wet/dry/wet/dry/wet race. Interest looks aren't real. They can't hurt you. So most cars pitted for dry tires, and then it immediately began to dump rain again, causing lots of problems on the track. Both McLarens ended up going off on lap 44. Norris was able to continue. Piastri slid off into the grass, got stuck momentarily, but was able to slowly but surely reverse off the grass and back onto the racetrack. Thank goodness for him. It wasn't a DNF, at least.
The indomitable spirit. Yeah.
Yep. Most cars ended up pitting again for intermediate tires because it was too wet. Norris pitted before Verstappen, giving him a massive undercut. Bortoleto and Lawson then crashed on lap 47, bringing out another safety car. After the restart, Verstappen chased Norris for the win for the rest of the race, but Lando was able to hold him off to bring home the first win of the season. So, just going through the top 10 finishers, we have Norris, Verstappen, Russell on the podium, followed by Antonelli and Albon. 6 through 10 were Stroll, Hülkenberg, Leclerc, Piastri, and Hamilton. Oscar Piastri recovered from 13th or 14th to get all the way back up to 9th. Fantastic
back into
work.
The points. Yeah, yes. That's crazy.
Because he only had 13 laps to do it. So, great stuff from him. He really had a great race. Unfortunately, he just had that one incident that cost him everything.
Notably beating Lewis Hamilton.
The Ferraris were not great this weekend. The rookies were not great, except for Kimi Antonelli, who looked spectacular. I will say I was kind of hating on Antonelli for the first, I don't know if I even talked about it on the podcast ever, but I thought he was going to be a crash and burn.
He just had so much hype.
He seemed like he was overhyped, but now it's like, okay, P16 to P4.
Yeah, I still don't think he's the second coming of Max Verstappen.
Well, yeah, we'll pump the brakes on that one. Potential is definitely there.
Yeah.
That is 100% for sure, considering that drive in the conditions that they were in. Didn't freak out when he spun, managed to catch the car and keep going. Seems like he's got a good head on his shoulders, pretty calm and mature, not quite to Piastri's level, but I might have been wrong about Antonelli, and we'll have to see.
Yeah, we'll see. Let's not jump the shark too fast.
Yeah.
It could have
just been a crazy good first race.
Yeah, he got his crashing out in FP1s last year.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
he's all done with it now. He doesn't need to.
Yeah, he's got the seat. He doesn't need to prove anything. But McLarens look really fast. Kind of what we gathered from testing ended up being the truth. McLaren is far and away the best car at the moment. It's not even really that close. Verstappen though is still a title contender. The Red Bull looks not super awesome, but it is Verstappen driving it, so he'll always be able to win any race. Except for maybe Monza. That one is like, if you have a bad car.
Power circuit.
Yeah. The rookies had a rough day, except Antonelli. We talked about that. Ferrari, talked about that a little bit.
Williams.
Absolutely killed it. Awesome day for Williams, except for Sainz.
But close enough. Welcome back, Logan Sargeant.
Qualifying was good, though. They definitely have a way better car this year than they did last year. That is 100% for sure.
And they have a solid driver lineup.
Oh, yeah. You don't have one of those weird pay drivers that's just not,
yeah.
not going to do it. Sainz and Albon is a very solid pairing. And I think I may have shortchanged Albon a little bit in my predictions this season. But again, it's too early to tell.
Colapinto was fast, to be fair.
Yes. So, great job from Albon finishing P5 after that crazy race. He did a great job holding off Lewis Hamilton. I swear Albon is like one of the best defensive drivers on the grid. And no one really talks about it. But if you get stuck behind Albon, good luck.
Yeah. He learned after Hamilton. He was like, never again.
Yeah, the guy knows how to say, no, you're not passing. So, yeah. Then we saw some interesting spicy stuff on the radios during the race. There was some swearing. It seems like the FIA has walked back the swearing regulations a little bit. They will not be penalizing drivers for swearing on the radio, which, thank goodness, I think that's the piece of it that most people had an actual issue with.
Yeah. Yeah,
not swearing during press conferences. Still, the fines and stuff seems a little harsh, but I get that a lot more than the radios.
Yeah, the radios are heat of the moment stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was gonna say because I noticed Lewis Hamilton when he found out that he was not going to win the race was quite cross.
Yeah, not super happy. Lewis and the his race engineer obviously have not quite and gotten to know each other super well yet. Yeah, Lewis was not super happy on the radio during the race, and the engineer just kind of said all the wrong things to keep making it worse.
It's like when you're working with like an 8-year-old kid and you're like trying to help them build Legos, like, all right, that block goes there, all right, put the block this block, you can put it there now. you can put it there. Yep. And Hamilton is like, dude, I know what I'm doing, just let me do my thing. Which was that was entertaining. That. Yeah.
And then Leclerc's engineer hasn't changed at all. Yeah. Leclerc had a problem, or probably not even a problem. It was just raining so hard. His seat was filling with water, so he thought there might have been a leakage in the car. And it's like, is there a leak? And they're like, what are you talking about? And he's like, there's water in my seat all over. And then, of course, the most obvious thing.
It's probably the water.
The engineer could have said, oh, it must be the water. Thanks.
Very cool.
Great stuff. Great stuff from Ferrari. I see they haven't changed at all. Any title aspirations, I would
have gone. Everybody's like, Lewis Hamilton's going to win a title with Ferrari this year. Just watch. And I don't think he's going to win a title with Ferrari this year, boys.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I don't have hope. Much hope after that race, though. So there's still some safety problems also that came up during the race. It was a wet track. There were giant tractor trailer things, machines moving, crashed F1 cars on the track. Lando Norris literally driving alongside one on the road at one point. Things shouldn't happen. There shouldn't be a crazy incident, but there could be, especially on a wet track. So I don't really know why there weren't any red flags. They seemed adamant about not throwing red flags and instead doing 10 lap plus safety cars.
Well, you know what happened last time we had red flags in an Aussie race, right?
So much.
They're just trying to avoid 2023.
Yes. I mean, I get it. But at the same time, like...
Yeah. There's a margin.
Yeah. I feel like it was pushed a little. And then you see pictures of the marshals literally just standing at, like, the entrance of a corner on the outside. So it's like if a car locks up or slides or anything at all, it's like...
Cut you in half.
Yeah, exactly. So there's still some safety concerns that can be addressed, as I'm sure there always will be, because the FIA has not been super great in that regard.
They've been undergoing some, you know, changes in management due to no person in particular,
right?
Specifically.
Yeah. Well, there's an election at the end of this year, so hopefully things change. Anyway. I see you added a little line here, Ben. What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, this probably would have been better maybe a little further up, where it might have been a little more relevant, but just changes to the wet tires, where the inters, the sipes and the intermediate tires have been... it's a good thing I have a camera, because I've lost the word for this. They're shallower. They're shallower now than they were previously, making them a little less efficient in the wet, causing them to go slick a little faster, and thus giving the apparently redesigned wet tire. We didn't see wet tire this race, so we might never know. But apparently the wet tire has been redesigned to be better.
Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah. So we didn't really see any difference this race in how teams implemented the intermediate tires, but who knows, maybe in a longer race, if we have another wet Spa, maybe we'll see the wets make an appearance and the inters be a little bit less important.
Maybe. If we see the wet tires on track during a race session, I think that's an improvement. And
over aside from the Haas running them for a meme.
Yeah, right. Maybe this will work. It didn't work.
That's a cool trick.
All right, so championship standings, pretty easy for the first week because it's literally just the finishing order.
Yeah, no more fastest lap points.
No more fastest lap points. Good call, Ben. Yes, those are gone, which...
Sorry, Lando Norris.
Sorry, Lando Norris, but it's also... I don't really care.
Yeah.
I don't really think it makes that huge of a difference, but... all right, and then championship is a little different. McLaren and Mercedes are actually currently tied for the championship lead, with McLaren technically in the top spot because they won the race. So they're tied at 27 points, followed by Red Bull at 18, Williams at 10, Aston Martin at 8, and Sauber at 6. 6 points, which is more points than they scored last season. So they've already outdone themselves. Crazy race. They were very slow all weekend, so I wouldn't get used to that. Sauber ahead of Ferrari. Ferrari's in P7 with 5 points.
Yeah.
And then Alpine, Racing Bulls, and Haas all without any points yet.
It's like 2021 again.
Yeah. Pit Stop Championship. Top 5, we had Leclerc, Hamilton, Russell, Tsunoda, and Behrman. 6 through 10 were Ocon, Verstappen, Lawson, Antonelli, and Albon. So championship standings for that are going to be the same as the finishing order. And then Team Ferrari off to a massive early lead with 43 points. Second place is Haas with 18. So Ferrari's just absolutely destroyed it this week. And then kind of trickles down from there. Red Bull with a particularly poor showing this time around. And McLaren with 0 points.
Well, the only...
those two are pretty solid.
Red Bull only had one driver to get chances to have faster pit stops since Lawson crashed.
Well, Lawson crashed late in the race, though.
I guess he did, yeah.
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 But, all right. We're already sitting here at Overtake of the Week. We got to talk about some more stuff, Ben. We got to drag this out. It's easier to skim through this when we're in person. Let's talk about liveries.
What flavor of autism should we activate for this particular section?
I don't know.
Would you like to talk about Transformers? Would you like to talk about the Dodge Viper?
The Stim Lights. Oh, the jokes. Anyway, Can this still go on YouTube? Probably.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Yes, actually it can. I know for a fact. Unless it's fine.
I've seen weird stuff on YouTube.
All right, we never did our livery rankings, Ben.
Oh, yeah.
That was one thing that we missed last week. So let's go through the liveries. And
you can
maybe
make me remember them?
Maybe in post, go scroll up. There's pictures.
Oh, there's pictures. Oh, yeah, you put pictures.
I do put pictures.
Wow, the quality. The
Not
QOL,
for this reason, but it actually works.
QOL improvements just going off.
Can't really see a lot, but general gist is fine. Okay, so let's start with the McLaren. I'll probably in post put some pictures of these up on the screen so people can view along with us. The McLaren, what do you think, Ben, out of 10? How do you rate this?
It is pretty much the same as last year. It's not as cool as the Indy cars because they have too many sponsorships. 7.
Same as last year out of 10?
Yeah, same as last year out of 10.
Yeah.
I guess 5 would be average, so I guess a 6, actually. Well, I don't know. Are you getting mad at me if I give it a 6?
No, because I'm also going to give it a 6.
Oh, okay, cool.
I loved it last year. I still like it. I think it's not as, you know, I see, last year I liked it because they went with the orange and black matching the IndyCar livery. They got rid of the blue, which I liked in some ways, but in other ways it didn't really fit super well. So I think I was a little overhyped last year. I think 6 is solid. It's a good looking livery, but it's kind of boring.
Yeah, I know they're going for that reverse chevron look to kind of not be the Marlboro logo from the iconic livery. But it's with the way that the cars are designed and the ground effect package and all that, ends up just like, it pretty much just looks like a black car with orange accents at this point, which, eh.
Right.
Bring back the tobacco sponsorship liveries.
Yes, please. All right. Red Bull. Same as every other year out of 10.
5.
5? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a 7. And the reason being, normally it'd be a 6 because it's a fantastic livery, but it's been the same for almost 10 years now. The only thing that gives it an extra point is, thank goodness, they got rid of the sponsor on the front wing and replaced it with the Red Bull.
Oh.
So, they finally listened to me. I've been saying to do this for the entire time we've been doing the podcast. Red Bull on the front wing. Keep it simple, stupid. Love it. So, they get an extra point.
Incredible.
All right. Mercedes. What do you got? It's kind of hard to see on this, but...
Yeah, I'll actually give this a 7. I actually really like how this livery looks. I like that they kind of toned down the red. I like the stripe, you know, that kind of goes across. I don't know, it's kind of it's a cool car to look at. And even though it's kind of monotone, it's at least visually interesting.
Yeah. What'd you say, 7?
Yeah, 7.
Okay, I'm going to give it a 6.
Tough crowd.
Maybe a 7, but also I want to be different than you, so take that.
We're allowed to agree.
Are we?
Maybe not.
I disagree. fine, we'll go 7. It's a good looking livery. It doesn't blow me away. I think I like last year's better.
Yeah, Mercedes actually has a pretty good track record of kind of keeping a visual design language without doing the exact same car every single year.
They do. I'll give them props for that. They do come out with a new livery every year, even though you can tell it's a Mercedes the second you look at it.
Yeah, that's good brand identity.
Definitely, yeah. All right, Williams is up next.
8. I'm a sucker for a blue car, a bright blue car.
8, okay.
I still love the Duracell copper top.
That's the best part of the livery, for sure. I'm still going to say 5. For me, just super boring.
Damn.
Sorry. Tough crowd, I know.
Am I allowed to curse?
We've been doing it for 4 years.
Have I been fined? Am I going to be fined?
Yeah, right. The FIA is going to send a $1,000 bill in the mail. all right. So, moving on from that, Aston Martin.
6. I liked last year's... Wait, when did they introduce this scheme? That was 2022?
Yeah.
I like their 2022 version of this the best, and it's kind of been plateauing ever since, so I don't know. 7.
7.
I think it's still one of the nicer looking cars on the grid, but
it does. Again, a little bit boring, but it's boring in a better way than the Williams. So I think I'm actually going to give it an 8, I think.
Wow. Yeah.
So we've reversed really between like Williams. This. Wait, no, I give the Aston a 7. Never mind.
Yeah. All right. Kick Sauber, Steak, Alfa Romeo, all of them, F1 team. What do you think,
then? It's so much black. And I wish they kind of just doubled down on the green. I know they doubled down on the green last year, but I feel like they still had a year in them where they could have had a mostly neon green car and gotten away with it. I think they've made a very striking car, but not particularly a good car, more boring, which means they've just made it worse, which means it's, I don't know, 4 for me.
Okay, I was also thinking 4. Like, oh man, it might even be a 3. For the sake of content, I'll say 3, because it's literally, like, they did nothing creative with this car. And usually Alfa Romeo's so on it with liveries.
I miss the Alfa Romeo liveries.
But yeah, I guess it's not Alfa Romeo anymore. But the last Alfa Romeo livery, still, I think, one of the best liveries I've ever
seen. It's so good.
That and the 2021 Alpine. Yes. But this is, like, they didn't even try any swoops or dashes or lines with the green. It's literally just, like, a green air intake.
This is Gran Turismo color blocking at its best.
They used one of the squares in Gran Turismo.
Plopped it on the overhead view.
Good, yeah. So I'm going to go 3. All right, this one is going to be, I'm interested to see what you think about this one. Ferrari.
Okay, yeah, this is an interesting one for me, too, because overall, I mean, I used to work for HP, so I don't really care that there was an HP logo on there. I work for HP, and it makes me care about their logo less. I don't know. The red center caps are kind of weird. I wish they had done a different color for that. Overall, I like it. I also like it better than previous years that they've had. So I will give this... I'm going to give this one an 8. I think it's level with the Williams for me.
Gotcha. Okay. I love the white. I love that they have gone with white. I hate what they've done with it.
I hate what we've done with the place.
The forward tilt on the stripe, not a fan. Also, you could have made the HP logo red or black. But why keep it blue? I mean, come on. I assume it's because they said that they need...
Yeah, I can tell you why pretty easily.
But my goodness, does it just ruin everything.
Look, this is how you do a cool HP logo. This is 2019.
If they put that HP on the slant with just the line logo... And
it's already slanted in the right direction. It's slanted in the right direction, HP.
If they did the slant logo on that slant to match, it would have looked so good.
It kills me because they had this logo. I'm going to hold my laptop up again.
That's fine.
They had this logo back in 2019. They were moving all their stuff to this, and it was sick.
It's such a good logo, too.
It was such a cool logo. Like, it's minimalist, but it still actually says HP. It's a good way to move the logo forward because the last one, pretty dated, pretty normal, I'd say.
Very 90s.
And then they decided not to use this anymore, and they went back to the old logo.
Such a shame.
Yeah. Rant over.
Yeah. If you fixed your logo, it would have been like probably a 9 out of 10.
Yeah.
All right.
This is turning like the Jax Films fixed your flag, but fixed your logo. That's a deep cut.
There you go.
Only real ones. I remember when Jax Films was good.
All right. Ben and Jerry's cotton candy flavor. I mean, Alpine. what do you got for this one, Ben?
I wish I remember what I put this one as last year, because I remember I like this better than last year's. I hate that BWT on the side is just like a flat pink with no like outline or embellishment or anything. This one is a 5 for me.
Okay. I will still die on the hill that this color combination cannot work together, so I'm going to give it a 4. Okay. All right, then. I hope we agree on this one. Racing Bulls.
I saw this and I wept. Not actually, but this one is probably... This is a 9 in my book. The only thing holding it back is that the Visa sponsor logo just... It's too big. It's not... Then if it had been... Something, I don't know. The Visa logo just kind of ruins it for me, the advertisements. I think this car without any advertisements on it is a 10 out of 10. I love the way it looks. I love the enormous Red Bull logo on the engine cover. With the Visa logo, it's a 9.
Okay, I'm going to slightly disagree with you here. I do think it's a 10 out of 10.
Oh my this god, is, you love the Visa logo.
I think this is... I actually do like the Visa logo a lot. I think it ties in with the car well. I love the colors that they chose. Just simple red, white, and blue. Like, rah-rah.
Rah-rah.
in the least American way possible. I love this livery. I love it so much. It is probably my favorite one this year. And speaking of the one that made it such a hard decision... Haas is next.
Yeah.
What do you think about it?
I was actually going to bring up Haas in relation to this because Haas has their brand along the side instead of the sponsor logo, mm-hmm. and I think that works so much better. I love that the side pod is kind of, it sticks out from the rest of the car. I like the color combo. I mean, I like the color combo when they unveiled the revision to the colors after, you know... The war.
The thing that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is also probably a 9 out of 10. I mean, it's black, red, and white, and they haven't changed it that much from last year, but it's still really good, so.
Yeah. Haas absolutely cooked this year, and I can't even think of a complaint. I just, much like the last one, it's very monochrome. Man, everything is done so well, though. Yeah, I'm also going to give this one a 10 out of 10. I think there's two 10s this year. It's Racing Bulls and Haas. Two people that are kind of usually under the radar when it comes to liveries, if not bad.
Yeah.
Of course, AlphaTauri never really had a bad livery.
They were just that dark blue and white was just kind of boring, though.
Yeah. Haas has had some pretty horrible
issues. They had a Russian flag for their car at one point.
Yeah. So, speaking of which, do you think if all that gets wrapped up, do you think we'll see the return of Nikita Mazepin to Formula One?
No.
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 Can't imagine why you would say that. I think that's all of them. Yeah, we got them all. So, those are our livery reviews for this year. We saved the best for last. Racing Bulls and Haas. I think Ben and I agree. Those are the two best ones of the season.
Yep.
The Haas is so good. I wish the car didn't suck so much.
Yeah. And I'm excited to see some of the race-specific liveries that we got this year.
McLaren always cooks with those.
Yeah. Teams have been leaning into that more and more. Yeah. So we'll see. I was kind of hoping that Red Bull would bring back the white... livery for the Japanese Grand Prix, but it seems that Racing Bulls has already beat them to it, so they'll probably not do that.
Yeah, but I'm sure McLaren will probably have special liveries for Monaco for sure, because it's always Monaco, probably Abu Dhabi, Miami. Most teams have a special one in Miami this, like, recently for some reason, probably just because
American it's such a high profile money. Cool race, you know.
Yeah, everyone loves that track.
Everyone loves all the American races.
Right. All right, now we can move on to our regularly scheduled programming. To the overtake of the week, I gave this one to Oscar Piastri for his last-second overtake on Lewis Hamilton on the last lap of the Australian Grand Prix, going around the outside of turn 10 or 11, one of those.
I can't count.
I think it's 10. Yeah, 10, 11, 12, yeah. Turn 10. Very fast corner, very fast chicane. Most people don't pass around the outside there. Kimi Antonelli did pass Alex Albon there, but it was a little bit earlier on in the corner. Piastri did have to go round the outside, as Crofty likes to say. So he got the points this week, deservedly so. At least he gets something this week. I thought for sure we were going to have it locked in, the first Australian ever on the podium in Australia, but the curse continues.
Yeah.
It's been however many years. I think they've done like 30 Grand Prix in Australia. In between Mark Webber, Danny Ricciardo, and now Oscar Piastri, nobody's been able to even get on the podium, which is kind of nuts considering Mark Webber was at Red Bull during their first dominant stretch in the early 2010s. I don't even know how that's possible. And then, of course, Danny Ricciardo was with Red Bull when they were really good. But Oscar Piastri, maybe next year. Maybe next year's the year.
We'll see.
He'll have to break the Australia curse like Leclerc broke the Monaco curse last year. Yep, so that's our overtake of the week. Let's move into our predictions from last week. To remind everybody of the top five, it was Norris, Verstappen, Russell, Antonelli, and Albon. Wow.
Wild.
What a crazy top five. I'll let you start us off, Ben, on a good note. Ish.
Yeah, ish. I had Norris, Verstappen, Hamilton, Leclerc, and Russell with Lawson as my dark horse. Lawson lost out big. Hamilton lost out big. Leclerc lost out big. But Norris and Verstappen locking in that one, too.
Nice. I had Leclerc winning, followed by Norris, Piastri, Verstappen, and Hamilton. And my dark horse was Antonelli. So I got my dark horse.
Locked in.
Yep, nailed it. And then I only got two of my five predictions actually made it into the top five.
We both really bet big on Ferrari, and we got let down hard, just like the drivers.
I thought Ferrari was kind of sandbagging, honestly, because they looked pretty far back in testing from what I expected compared to McLaren. But turns out they just were. So, yeah.
Their strategy has gotten worse since last year.
It'll be, hopefully it doesn't rain in China. I'd love to see a full dry race to see what the cars are really capable of. Because it's still kind of hard to tell where the cars are over a full race distance, just because when rain comes, it's just everything is out the window. So those are our predictions for the top five. Fastest lap went to Lando Norris. What'd you say, Ben?
I had Lawson for this one.
I had Lando Norris, so I will take that point.
I'll never happily say Lawson again.
Yeah, after that performance. that was on par with Checo, for sure. I'm still hating it. It's a habit. It's a reflex.
Something we'll let go of slowly as the year goes by.
He's a great guy. Go back into that whole spiel. Driver of the day went to Lando Norris, what'd you say?
I had Lewis Hamilton.
I had Charles Leclerc.
Man, the Ferrari is just absolutely beat down.
Yeah, not great. All right, let's see if we learned our lesson. Formula One Chinese Grand Prix next week, or this week, depending on when you're listening to it.
Or last week.
Or a long time ago. Again, depending on when you're listening. I have one listener that is currently listening to our entire backlog to catch up.
I'm sorry.
He is committed.
So that is wild.
Carl, when you get to season 4, episode 2, here's a shout out for you, man. All right, Chinese Grand Prix. Top five, give me your picks, man.
I have Norris, Verstappen, Piastri, Sainz, and Albon for this one with Doohan as my dark horse.
Okay. Got Williams.
Williams on the
Williams
brain.
Up there. Yeah. Yeah. All right. I have Piastri, Norris, Verstappen, Leclerc, and Russell as my top five with Carlos Sainz as my dark horse. I still think you can technically count Williams in the dark horse. If they get another couple top fives, then that's like a little shakier.
It shifts. It's gradual.
I'm not getting my hopes up for Williams yet. They've let me down too many times. fastest lap. What do you got, Ben?
I've got Russell for this one. Don't ask me why. I just wanted to put him for something.
Okay. I've got Verstappen because, well, I don't have to explain that.
Why not?
Driver of the day.
I got Albon for this one.
Albon. Okay, I have Piastri. I think if he wins, he'll get it after last week for sure. Who knows? All right, Ben. It is time for you to brainstorm last second because you forgot to write anything down.
How did you know?
It's time for Ben's words of wisdom.
Yeah.
Cue the Jeopardy music.
You need to fast forward through this part. You're like, get me doing this. I guess, I don't know, I've been having to replace a whole bunch of batteries and stuff that I got that came with batteries, so get nice batteries when you can, double A's and triple A's and all that stuff. It's absolutely worth not getting the Dollar Tree batteries, and, you know, get yourself some nice Duracells or some Energizer Maxes or the lithiums if you're feeling extra spendy. In my experience, the lithiums actually do last longer, especially on like security cameras and stuff like that. So it can be worth shelling out for some nicer batteries sometimes if you have stuff that actually needs to work, like a mouse or a security camera.
Good stuff, Ben. Actually, I have a story that pertains to that. Piggyback off of that. My roommate got a Blackstone this week and set it up and everything, and needed a AA battery for the igniter. When we do not have any AA batteries, and instead of going to the store and buying a nice AA battery, he decided to pull one out of his Xbox, one of the controllers, or his A controller somewhere, and he stuck it. he put it in, and it clicked twice and then never again.
Nice.
So, yeah. Yes, get yourself some nice batteries. Don't reuse.
And it never hurts to buy in bulk. Just have a package of them, because when you need them, you don't want to not have them.
You don't want to be cannibalizing a AA
from an Xbox controller.
Yeah, absolutely not. So, good stuff, Ben. Great words of wisdom for this week. But that wraps up this episode. Probably a little bit of a shorter one. I don't actually know, but I believe so. It must have been. Thank you, everybody, so much for watching and listening. Hopefully, you're able to see us. Hopefully, you're able to hear us. That's kind of the important part. If you enjoyed the episode, leave a like or rating on the platform you listened on. It really helps us out. Subscribe or follow if you'd like to see more of our beautiful faces on YouTube. If you want to see updated standings for IndyCar and F1, you can or a calendar of upcoming racing from the series, check out our website, revhang.com, which I am still slowly but surely getting updated from last season, because it takes time.
Websites are hard.
Yes. If you have a question about racing or about us, hit us up on any socials in the comments or DMs, and we may feature your question on the next show. You can follow Ben on Instagram at BenjiMeetsWorld and myself at 2N_squared. You can follow the RevHang page on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, anywhere you get your memes. We're probably there, except Reddit. I need to get on that. We'll be back. I need to get on English, too. We'll be back in a week to talk about the Formula One Chinese Grand Prix. We're back in Shanghai. Feels good. It's been... Well, actually, we raced there last year. But before that, it had been a long time. And it's actually a very good track.
Is IndyCar... Is that next week too?
We do have IndyCars racing at the Thermal Club. We are definitely going to be talking about that. And if they haven't changed the format since last year, we will be very upset. So definitely tune in.
Many opinions.
Yes. Until then, though, I've been Nathan.
And I'm Ben.
Thanks for hanging out.
See you later.